You're listening to Polsinelli Podcasts, a weekly podcast produced by national law firm Polsinelli, providing practical legal guidance for better business decisions.
While Republicans and Democrats may not agree on most issues, lawmakers will come to terms on at least one. Our political system is broken. Polsinelli shareholder Martin Frost has co-authored a book exploring the reasons why and how we can turn things around. The book is called The Partisan Divide, Congress in Crisis. It is released in January. Martin has 26 years of congressional experience as a congressman from Texas and served for 8 years as a member of the House Democratic leadership, spending 4 years as chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and 4 years as chair of the House Democratic Caucus. So, Martin, David Eisenhower, the grandson of President Eisenhower, wrote the foreword in the book and called it a must-read. He also wrote about observing you and your co-author, Tom Davis, along with journalist Richard Cohen, about crossing party lines and working together to get things done. Can you speak from experience when you were in Congress in the 90s versus what it's like today?
Well, it's almost an impossible situation today. When I was first elected to Congress in 1978, there was at least some spirit of bipartisanship and cooperation on things that were important to the country and from time to time important to our own districts. I'll give you an example. I was approached in the late 1980s by all the veterans organizations in North Texas, the area that I represented, and they wanted a new veterans cemetery for the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And quite frankly, many of the people who approached me were Republicans, and I asked why they asked me to take the lead on this, because there were seven or eight congressmen from the area. They said, well, you had a reputation for getting things done and being able to work across party lines, and in fact, we did. Actually, what happened was I worked together with a Republican congressman that I served with on the Rules Committee, Jerry Solomon from New York, and he had a similar project in Albany, New York, and so we kind of piggybacked our projects on each other, and we looked after each other and made sure both projects were funded, and in fact, the cemetery in the Dallas-Fort Worth area was opened, 10 or 12 years ago and has been a very successful thing for the military and for veterans in the area, and was very much needed, and we were able to work together and get that done.
Well, what are the factors that landed Congress in this polarizing atmosphere that we have today?
Well, it's a long story.
And that's why you wrote the book, right?
Yes, the book will be out in January in bookstores and available on Amazon.com. There are a lot of reasons. First of all, we are a closely divided country, and that's been seen in recent elections. However, what's happened in recent years is that the congressional districts have been drawn for the House have been drawn in such a way that they're mostly safe districts for either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. This is a result of partisan gerrymandering. And so that the real action often is in party primaries, and a Republican has to worry about somebody from the far right challenging him in his own district, and a Democrat has to worry about someone from the left challenging him in his or her district, and this pulls the candidates themselves to the extremes to protect themselves in a primary, and it makes it difficult for them to meet in the middle, to kind of compromise, because if they do, they'll be criticized by members of their own party and be threatened with not being renominated. We saw that. We saw that several times this year.
You have a chapter devoted to what you call the new normal, divided government. What are the ramifications of this new normal? What do you think the future holds?
Well, the new normal in our politics is that right now, and this could change in 2016, but as it stands right now, Democrats have an advantage in the presidential elections, and Republicans have an advantage in the congressional and Senate elections, and so that you have divided government. That's what the new normal is, and it makes it very difficult to cooperate. You have to, in order to get things done in a divided government, you have to have both the president who is willing to work with the Republicans, with the opposition party, and you have to have people in the opposition party who don't feel it's their sole responsibility just to tear down the president. It used to be in American politics, particularly in foreign policy, that we had a saying that politics stops at the water's edge. Whenever there was a challenge to the United States, Democrats and Republicans would rally, would work together. If there were a president of one party and Congress of another party, they put their differences aside. Now, even on foreign policy, you have a lot of sniping going back and forth. The most recent example in domestic policy was the Ebola crisis. I mean, this was nuts, quite frankly, that people were engaged in partisan sniping. We needed to get to figure this out. We needed to make sure our country was safe, that we had all the safeguards in place when people traveled here, and yet people wanted to turn this into a partisan contest to score partisan points. The new normal is divided government. Now, we may not have divided government after the next election. It's possible the Republicans could win the presidency in 2016 and would control both the executive branch and the legislative branch. Conversely, there are a lot of Republican senatorial seats up, and it's possible the Democrats could win the Senate back in 2016. But the current situation is divided government.
There's an old saying, follow the money. Can you speak about what started as campaign finance reform and has now turned into big money support from outside interests?
Well, this has been terrible for the country. Back in the about the year 2001, 2002, Congress passed something called the McCain-Feingold legislation, which was supposed to reform our system. And what it did, it took what was called soft money, money from corporations and labor unions and large individual contributions, away from political parties. And at the time, I spoke out against that. I said, you know, this doesn't make any sense, because right at that time, soft money contributions could be given to the parties, and they were fully disclosed. So we knew exactly who was putting up the money, and the parties could use them for get-out-the-vote activities, for a variety of traditional things. And I said at the time, this is going to force money to the extremes, into these shadowy groups, third-party groups, and people who were advocates of that said, oh, don't worry about it. We've got a provision in this law that that these groups can't take out ads within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of a general election. And I asked at the time, I said, well, what if the courts strike that down? And they said, oh, our lawyers tell us it's okay. Well, it wasn't okay. In fact, the courts did strike that down. And the courts went even further to say that corporate money then could be used in direct advocacy and by these third-party groups saying vote against or vote for somebody. So our system has gone haywire. To change that, in most cases, you would have to amend the Constitution, which is very difficult, to override a Supreme Court decision. You could, however, require full disclosure, and that's one of the things that we advocate in our book, is say, okay, these outside groups called C4s, they're charitable organizations, and they don't have to disclose their donors. Make them disclose their donors whenever they take an ad out that mentions a candidate for federal office. At least let some sunshine in on the system. We can't totally change the system, but we do need to have a much more transparent system so people know who's putting up this big money.
How does the media play into all this?
Well, what's happened is, and I used to be a reporter a long time ago, as I think many of you know, I'm a graduate of the University of Missouri School of Journalism. I worked as a journalist. And when I was elected to Congress in 1978, things were very different. First of all, you didn't have any all news, CNN didn't exist. You didn't have all news cable shows. And you didn't have the extreme right-wing and, to a lesser degree, extreme left-wing voices in the media. Now, these extreme voices tend to crowd out the discussion, tend to polarize people. I'm a believer in a free press. I wouldn't in any way try and censor the voices. But we have to realize that these extreme media voices, which are then amplified by the Internet, which didn't even exist when I was first elected to Congress, feed on the partisanship in the country, encourage people to just not even consider the other side's point of view. That's a terrible situation for our country. Somehow we've got to get back to the point where we were at least willing to think about what the opposition has to say. We may not agree with them all the time, but just not to reject it out of hand.
Well, they should be neutral and not giving an opinion one way or another on the news of the day.
Well, but we can't prevent people from engaging on cable TV or on talk radio from giving opinions. That's not the way our system has developed. Now, in the news coverage, they should be neutral. There's no question about that. But we now have gone much beyond just neutral news coverage, and so that we have extreme partisan voices both on radio and television. And I would hope that the public will eventually just say, okay, we've had enough of this of these extreme voices. Let's step back a moment and let's try and figure out what really is in the best interest of the country. That's going to be a hard sell, quite frankly.
Martin, this sounds like a fascinating read. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
The book is called The Partisan Divide, Congress in Crisis, co-authored by Martin Frost and Tom Davis, along with journalist Richard Cohen. And as Martin mentioned, the book's available on Amazon.com and bookstores nationwide, and getting good reviews, by the way, from President Bill Clinton and President Jimmy Carter, among many others. And if you'd like more information about Martin Frost, go to our website, Posanelli.com. We'll catch you next time on Posanelli Podcasts.